Well, welcome. Good morning, Promise Tribe. We are so glad that you're joining us from your living room. We are so excited to be with you this morning, and we are sorry that we can't be together. But you know, the church, we are the church. So wherever you are this morning, we are going to do church. Amen? Well, I just want you to know, if you've clicked on the live streaming, at the very bottom, you can click share. And I suggest if you can do that, click share. It'll go to your Facebook page, and then any of your friends, any of your family that are around that maybe can't go to church or don't know that church is online, we'll see you watching and we'll be able to watch with us. So I encourage you to do that, because it's going to be an encouraging message, encouraging day today. And you know what? Let's just forget about everything that's going on and let's worship our God, because our God is still on the throne. He's still the King of Kings. He's already made a way, and that's who we've come to worship this morning. All right? So let's enter in and let's have some worship time.
I'm not afraid to die. So we're going to get in the Word this morning, and then we're going to have communion with you. So if you didn't hear about it, get some things ready, some grape juice or some wine. It's a little early for real stuff, but you know, get some crackers and things like that, and I hope you got your Bibles with you this morning. So obviously I want to talk to you this morning about probably the biggest event that has happened to us in our lifetime. I don't think any of us have experienced something globally that is this powerful and having such an impact. Started off as a health crisis and is now also turned into a financial crisis. And, you know, many people in our congregation have been impacted already by this. People who their businesses have shut down where they were working, and they're sitting at home, and some of them don't have any income. Other businesses are really just gone out of business already, and they've been laid off and looking for other work. But, you know, I believe that even though we might have been impacted this way financially, we do have a solution for that. But it has also affected people's health. And I want to make a declaration this morning that not one single person who's part of the Promise Tribe will lose their life in the name of Jesus. I believe you're agreeing with me out there. Amen. So I want you to listen to me this morning. First of all, take a deep breath. Just don't breathe it out on anybody. No. This will come to pass. The Bible says many times in the Old Testament that it came to pass. This will come to pass. We will get through it. And as Pastor Cindy already said this morning, she probably looked at my notes because she already said we'll come out without even the smell of smoke. You know the story about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who got thrown into the fiery furnace. And who showed up in the furnace? Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up in the furnace. And I believe with all my heart, Jesus is going to show up right now here in our furnace. And they came out on the other side without the smell of smoke. And in fact, it turned the whole nation. The king said, this is the God that needs to be served. And I'm convinced that if the church will stand strong and do some real great Christian things, this is a great opportunity for us to do some Christian things, to love our neighbor. This is an opportunity for you to knock on your neighbor's door and to say, listen, I am going to go down to Costco and stand in line. Is there anything I can get for you? Or you're going to, you know, say, do you need anything? We've got some extra toilet paper, you know, share. Amen. So, I mean, but really, there are things that we can do at this time, and it doesn't look like you're preaching the gospel, but actually you are. Because people say, well, who are you? And you'll say, well, I'm a Christian, love Jesus, and just want to reach out to you with the love of God. So let's do some of those things. Let's, even though there's a lot of stress, let us also, you know, if we come across people and you're out and about and you have to do some things, be friendly, be kind to them, because there's a lot of stress. You don't want people fighting in line. You know, you want to be the peacemaker. So what I'm saying is there are things that we can do. We can't gather together, but there are other things that we can do to share the light of the gospel. So some of you may be afraid right now because of the financial impact that this is going to have on you and your family. But let's put this in perspective. Okay, let's just put this thing in perspective. You may lose some stuff. You may lose some stuff, but it's only stuff, right? It's only stuff. I mean, if you compare that to a life, isn't life more valuable than stuff? Yes. Stuff can always, you can always get more stuff. In fact, most of us have too much stuff as it is. But you know, if you think about Paul, when he was on the ship and they went to that storm and the ship was lost and the cargo was lost, the stuff was lost, but the good news was not one single life was lost in the middle of that storm. And I believe we can take courage from that. But here again, as Pastor Cindy said during the offering, we don't necessarily have to give in and lose the stuff because you're a tither. And if you do have your Bibles with you, please turn to the famous tithing scripture, Malachi 3:11, or like I like to say, the Italian prophet Malachi. So let's go to Malachi 3 at verse 11, actually. I'm going to read it to you, so hopefully you've found it already. It said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. This is the person who's a tither. So that he, the devourer, will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit. For you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Now, we know that Satan is behind the coronavirus. There's no doubt about it. He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's caused death, suffering, pain, loss, and fear. And all of those things speak exactly to his MO. However, there's God. But God. Everybody say, but God. Even out there, say, but God. In this scripture, God promised to protect your stuff. He said so. He will protect your harvest. And the vine will not fail to bear fruit. The vine is the source of income. This is what was bearing fruit for the farmers. So God is saying, I'm going to protect your source of income. It's going to bounce back. Believe me, even though we're going through these terrible times, I have great faith in God. Also, I have great faith in the American economy. And I'm really excited what President Trump is doing and Vice President Pence and all the leaders that are in authority and what they're doing to quench this thing and to stop it from expanding. So I'm really excited about what they're doing. And they're doing their best that they can in the natural. But we have got something more powerful than the natural. Amen? We can do something in the spirit realm. So not only are you a tither and you can claim, and I believe this is the time where we ought to really dig our heels in and claim the protection of the tither. So if you're a tither, you need to stand. I'm going to stand fast in this, and I'm not going to give in the name of Jesus, because God has promised he will protect my stuff. Amen? All right. Also, you're probably a giver. You give over and above your tithe. Well, there's so many scriptures you can go to, but you know, one of the great scriptures that come to mind is 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. God will provide seed for the sower and food or bread for eating. So because you're giving over and above the tithe, guess what? You're considered by God to be a sower. And he's going to give you seed to sow, which is going to be finances. He's going to give you finances to be able to sow. And here's a great part in this verse. I love this particular part. Many people skip over it, don't see what it says. But it says this: he will supply and multiply your seed. He will supply and multiply your seed. Now watch this. It says sown. It's the past tense. It's a past tense word. So what he's saying to you, have been a tither and a giver. The seed that you've already sown, God promises he's going to multiply the seed already sown. So you might be sitting there at home going, well, you know, what about, yes, all the seeds you've been sowing, the tithing you've been giving, all the stuff you've been, it's already out there, it's already growing. Satan is not going to be able to stop your harvest. God is going to multiply it. And even now, you know what, we can believe for a bumper harvest. He said, multiply the seed sown. He's going to say, seed normally multiplies by itself. That's how it works. But God is saying, I'm going to give you a bumper crop. I'm going to even multiply it beyond the natural. I believe we're in for a supernatural harvest. Amen. Amen. So say with me, divine protection.
Divine protection.
Say divine provision.
Divine provision.
And if you're waiting for the title of my sermon, that's it. Divine protection and divine provision. Praise God. Well, say this with me.
My family
is divinely protected.
Both
physically and financially. All right. Now listen to the words of Jesus. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. It's found in John 14 and verse 27. If you have time, turn your Bible to John 14 verse 27. Of course, you can't watch the PowerPoint, so I'm glad you're using your Bible. I'm going to read to you out of the Contemporary English Version. It goes like this. I give you peace. The kind of peace that only I can give. It isn't like the peace that this world can give. So don't be worried or afraid. Don't be worried or afraid. The King James Bible says, or the New King James says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. I remember when I was young and newly saved, there was a song that we used to do. It was one of the choruses. The world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. Does anybody know that song? Somebody does. Yeah. All right. So the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. You don't have to be afraid of the world taking it away. But here is what God said. I give you peace. So don't panic. Don't panic. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask, we have a few people here, husband and wives. You can take hold of your hands together. And I'm going to ask Pastor Brian, who's sitting here with me, to come up. Would you take hold of your hands out there? And what we're going to do is we're going to pray for the peace of God right now to come into your home. All right? Let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Jesus said that He gives us peace. Not like the world gives it. A deep peace that's in our hearts and minds that only God can give us. And right now, we pray that that peace would manifest in every heart and every mind that are listening to us. And in the name of Jesus, we take control and we take into captivity those thoughts and those imaginations of sickness, death, chaos, and defeat. They shall not happen in the name of Jesus. And we release the peace of God to every single person right now. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Philippians 4:6, one of my favorite verses. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And this is an opportunity for us to implement that particular verse. You know, we're a people of faith. And there are so many scriptures that we can go to right now that will generate faith in our hearts and help us to believe through this situation that we're in. That's the reason we've been learning faith. We've been learning about faith for such a time as this. The famous words spoken by Mordecai to Queen Esther. You've been born for such a time as this. So our faith has been born in us for such a time as this. And if we need more faith, we go to the Word to get it. I have a question. If not now, when? This is the time to use faith. You know, a lot of times people say, well, it's easy to believe in the good times. That's true. It is. But it's great to have believed in the good times. So now when we're facing the storm, we have our faith that's developed and we can use it right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Another scripture, if you want to turn to it, is Romans 8 at verse 37. Romans 8 at verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen? In all of these things, we are more than conquerors. Say that with me. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer in Jesus' name. That is how you use your faith. You take the scripture, you believe in your heart, you say it out of your mouth, you believe it, and suddenly something happens inside of you. Some confidence rises up, some peace rises up, because you say, wait a minute, yes, I am above and not beneath. I am the head and not the tail. Amen? I am getting over, not going under. We say those things because we believe we are more than conquerors in Jesus' name. You remember the story when Jesus was in the boat asleep at the back and they hit a storm and the disciples panicked and they went to Jesus, they woke Him up and they said, don't you care that we're going down, that our life is being threatened? Jesus wakes up out of his deep sleep and He says, why are you guys so afraid? Why are you guys so afraid? And some of you may be feeling that Jesus is asleep in your boat right now. Because you may be feeling that you're facing the storm alone. And you might be thinking and feeling like, I'm going down. That perhaps I'm going to drown. Maybe I'm going to lose my house. I can't pay my rent. I can't pay. Well, listen, guys, listen. Jesus said, don't be afraid. And then He did something. He spoke to the storm. He calmed the storm. He spoke to the wind and the waves, and we can learn from what Jesus did. We can speak to our storm that we're facing right now, and we can speak to our physical bodies, and we can speak to our finances. Amen. We can say boldly, say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. So we hit the storm right back. We don't let the storm blow us over. We go, no way, I refuse. I refuse to allow it. So don't give in. Speak to your storm, speak to your finances in the name of Jesus. Remember the story where Jairus came to Jesus and asked Him to come and pray for his daughter, that she'd be healed? And while he's waiting for Jesus to come, his daughter dies. So he had bad news, and it gets worse. The worst that could possibly be, his daughter dies. Now, you're in that situation right now where you may not have seen an immediate miracle take place. You might not have seen something happen, and you're waiting for Jesus to come to your house. You're waiting for Jesus to come and heal somebody in your home. You're waiting for Jesus to bring good news. And Jesus turns to Jairus and he says, "Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Only believe." Amen. Those are the words of Jesus to you right now. Jesus is never late. Yes. He was on time. He went to Jairus' home and he raised his daughter from the dead. Jesus is on time, and Jesus will be in your home on time. Do not be afraid about the circumstances and the situation that you're facing. Amen. He's not going to leave you, and he's not going to forsake you. Amen? Yes. There's a story about Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. Man, he thought his days were numbered. Who's ever survived being in amongst the pride of lions? God sent his angel, shut the mouth of the lions, and Daniel survived. I can imagine Daniel cozying up next to the one of the lions and saying, "Listen, buddy, I need a pillow tonight, and another one come and warm me here. You know, it's a little cold on the stony floor." And they snuggling up to him and licking his face like, you know, like your dog licks your face. And don't do that right now. It's not a good thing, okay? Don't let your dogs lick your face right now, okay? But, I mean, he was right there. He had a good night's sleep. He wasn't terrified about the situation he's in. And this speaks to my heart, because some of us may not be having a good night's sleep right now. Just because what you see, what you hear on the news, what you might be feeling and the stress, your heart might be pounding, you might be short of breath and think you got the coronavirus. You don't have the coronavirus, you're panicking. You might be having a panic attack, all right? So just listen up here, listen. Don't panic. Don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You see here, our responsibility is to believe God. It's his responsibility to make it come to pass. Sometimes we reverse the roles and we think it's up to us to make it come to pass. It isn't. God will make it come to pass. But we have to resolutely refuse to fear and to doubt. We must not entertain any thought that contradicts the Word of God, because the Word of God is your solution. So don't imagine worst case scenarios. Don't let the worst case scenarios come in. What if, where goes, if this goes there and this goes there? Don't worry about it. There's precious little you can do about the stock market. There's precious little you can do outside of what's being done practically by other people in authority. What we can do is take heed of what the authorities are telling us to do, and respectfully, as Christians, the Bible tells us to obey those in authority. So when they tell us not to go out, not to have meetings, let's do that. Because you know what? Other people's lives are at stake. And the social distancing thing is such an important thing, because you could pass it on to somebody else. Listen, I'm turning 70 shortly, 69 this coming week. Jackie's already 70 years old, and you know that Jackie has everything that they're talking about on the news. Everything. She would be a number one prime suspect at risk. And we have to stand in faith between that and what they're saying. You understand? So that's where we've got to stand. So you know what we need to do? We really need to understand, even if you're young, in your 20s and 30s, you could get very sick. But in the name of Jesus, I believe that you'll recover by his stripes. But we must be careful not to pass it on to somebody else who is vulnerable. You understand? So we support the decisions that are being made, and we abide by the authorities. That is the Christian thing to do. If you want to preach the gospel, as I said, go and share with your neighbor. Ask if you can shop for your neighbor. If there's anything that you can help them with, that kind of stuff. So we can still do that. All right. Hold fast to the Word of God in this situation. Put it first place and keep doing it. Nothing has changed. The Word of God is still the same. Cindy quoted the story of the storm. I want to read you the verse out of Matthew 7, verse 24, where Jesus said these words. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Hold fast to the word. Put the word of God first place. Keep doing it, and this storm will wash over you. It will wash over you. Say this out loud. My house will stand through the storm. So disregard the circumstances and depend entirely on the word of God as the evidence for your faith. Why? Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. Don't allow your senses, sense knowledge, and intellect to determine whether the word of God is going to work for you or not. Don't let the circumstances out there bring you to such a place of fear and panic that you feel the word is not going to work, that God can't do something for you. Remember this, faith is only faith when we're believing in the face of evidences that contradict the word. And right now, everywhere you look, you're seeing evidences that contradict the word. It contradicts the word. People are dying by their thousands. People are getting sick by their tens of thousands. There's panic all over the world. But those who know their God shall not panic, shall overcome, shall stand on the word of God and declare the word of God in their lives, and it will cause a shield about them and protect them and their family, and we shall overcome in Jesus' name. All right. So here's the scripture you've all been waiting for, because everybody's reading it. Tell me what it is. Psalm 91, of course. All you prophets out there. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to pick out a few verses. And I've changed it a little bit to make it more personalized. Okay? So Psalm 91, I'm going to pick out on verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Not the stock market, not anybody else. In Him I will trust. Verse 3 says, surely He shall deliver you. I'm going to make it me and my family. Like this. Surely He shall deliver me and my family from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Say that with me. Surely He shall deliver me and my family from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. You want to say that quickly a few times. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Verse 5. I shall not be afraid. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noontime or noonday. Verse 7. 1,000 may fall at my side. Say that with me. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. And that's exactly what's going on. Boy, that is an incredible scripture for use right now. It shall not come near me. Believe it, say it in Jesus' name. Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Say that no virus shall come near my dwelling. In Jesus' name. Verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Amen. We're coming through this and we're going to have long life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Praise God. Amen. So we're going to have communion now with you. And for those that are here in this little gathering, we're going to have communion as well. We're going to pass it out for you. So if you can get your cup ready and get some bread and crackers, I'm going to ask them to give some to me, and we're going to partake together. All right, if you would give me some, thank you. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So all of you already know what this communion symbolizes. The cracker that's been broken symbolizes Jesus' body that was broken for you. What is so important about the breaking of Jesus' body is that by His stripes or by His wounds, we are healed. So today, in particular, we look back to Jesus' death on the cross until He comes, the Bible says so. But when we partake of this cracker, I want you to believe for personal health and for healing in your family and your extended family, even your friends. We are together. We can agree. We can pray over them. They may not have the faith that you have. And this is a good time for you to pray for them and maybe reach out to them and text them or send them an email and say, hey, I prayed for you today. I know that you may be afraid of what's going on, but I know my God answers prayers and I've prayed for you today. So we're going to partake of the cracker when we do that, and then we're going to partake of the cup, all right? Represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through His blood, we have redemption. Now let me say this. There may be people, it might be rare, but there may be people who are watching, and you think that you're a Christian, you think things are okay, maybe you've gone to church all your life, but you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. This is very important. This is very important. You're probably a good person, but good doesn't do it. Good won't get you to heaven. If good would get you to heaven, then Jesus didn't have to die. None of us are good, and that's why we need the blood of Jesus on the cross shed for us, and for us to believe and put our faith in what Jesus did on the cross. So I'm going to ask you today, if you're watching us and you have never prayed a simple prayer, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I give my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. Do it now and then partake with us together as we partake of these emblems. Such a simple prayer. Such just humility, just coming before the cross of Jesus and acknowledging, hey, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying for me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Amen? All right. Lord, we thank you right now for your broken body. Lord, and as a community, even though it's through the internet, we partake together as families, as friends, as believers in Christ of your broken body. And as we do this by faith, we receive healing in our physical bodies and we walk in divine health and divine protection for our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Partake. And now, Lord Jesus, we consider the most sacred of all things, the most sacred of all things in the entire universe. There is nothing more powerful to cleanse us from sin. You overcame Satan. You defeated him. You became our deliverer, our redeemer, our savior, our righteousness, our sanctification. We are justified through you. And by your blood, we have been made righteous, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Today we are children of God because of what you did, Jesus. Today, heaven is our home. We have eternity to look forward to. And as we partake of this emblem, we look at you on the cross and we say, you did it for me. Your blood was shed for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's partake. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your life. Thank you, Jesus, that you came as the Lamb of God. And you allowed men to spit on you, to curse you, to whip you, to beat you. And you did it for us. And today, Lord, we partake. We remember what you did. And we're so thankful. We're so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to have Pastor Lindsay come in and talk to the children. Just before she does that, I'd like to say that we do have a very special couple with us today. And when we're finished of our online service, we're going to be praying for Pastor Kevin and Laurland. I know for some of you that you love them so much and you've known them for many years. They have been part of our church family for going on 30 years now. They served as pastors in the Philippines, and they served as pastors with us here at the Promise Church. We've always loved them. We've always appreciated them. They're leaving California. They're going to Virginia. And we wanted to pray with them and send them out from this house with our love and our best wishes and prayers. We had actually asked Laurlin to sing in our worship band this week, and she would have, had we've had church, she would have. And it would have been a wonderful farewell. But we let you know we'll be praying for them after we discontinue the service. So, Pastor Lindsay.
Good morning, Promise Kids. I must tell you, I miss my hugs this morning. I'm saving them up, and you are going to get such tight hugs from me when I see you next time. So you better be prepared. Well, overcomers and conquerors, I want to talk to you first. And I've been thinking about the last 3 or 4 weeks that we've been doing in Children's Church. And we were studying about healing. We were looking for the last 4 weeks at how Jesus healed every single person who came to him. And one of our memory verses was from Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, which says, "I am the Lord which heals you." If I asked you this morning and I was handing out Bible bucks, I know you would be able to answer me. Where does sickness come from? Yeah, that's it. It comes from the devil. I don't know. Should we give these guys some Bible bucks, guys? We know that sickness comes from the devil. And the other thing that we learned last week, and Matthew, I know this is your favorite scripture. Matthew, no. I'm talking to you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and it says, "I shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on me." And what kind of power is that, guys? Dunamis power. That's right. That's the kind of power that the devil is terrified of. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and it's the same power that Jesus had when he prayed for all the sick. Do you remember that? So you do not have to be afraid. You have authority and power over the devil. Just remember that. So, one other thing. I want you to remember that according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, and James, this is your favorite scripture. If God be for me, who can be against me? So if you get afraid, and you turn around and you tell the devil, "Hey, devil, the God is on my side," he will drop his weapons and turn and flee from you. That's what he does, because the dunamis power of God dwells in you. Now, the other thing I wanted to remind you of, and we do this every single week, when we lift our hands and we praise during our praise and worship time, what happens when we focus on Jesus and worship him? Can you remember? Yeah, the atmosphere changes. And the devil hates being around people who praise Jesus. So if you can remember to praise him this week, the devil's got no place in your home. Remember that. And then I would like to talk to our giant slayers. Well, last week you learned a memory verse that says, "God has not given me a spirit of fear." Wow, do you see how the Holy Spirit has been teaching us long before the devil even tried to trip us up? So, giant slayers, you do not have a spirit of fear. And I know that you could tell me, too, exactly where sickness comes from. Don't let the devil trip you up, and don't let him make you afraid. Parents, before we close up tonight, I want to encourage you to go to your emails and go to your parent communication slips that we hand out to you every single week. The last 3 or 4 weeks were designed by the Holy Spirit to equip you to help your kids get through this tough time. I love you, and I cannot wait to hug you all again. Thank you so much, and we'll be praying for you this week. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Lindsay. So some of you might be saying, well, what should I be doing at this time? Taking a vacation. You're forced into a vacation. You're at home. Play some games with your children. Put the TV off. There's bad news out there. Get some games out and play some real games, not games on the like this, you know. Play some real board games or something like that, or some card games or something like that. Or read a book, a good Christian book that you've been waiting to read all this time. You've got great time. Put a little extra time in prayer, maybe a little more time in Bible reading. You know, you've got this time at home. You can literally really, really catch up on a lot of things that you have been wanting to do for some time. All right? And let me encourage you. Why don't you send this out, share it on Facebook to as many people as you can, because it's going to help people, and I know they'll be encouraged by it. And then we'll be back next Sunday at 10 o'clock again. I guess we'll be back next. I'm sure we will. All right? In the name of Jesus, have a great week. Give the devil a rough time, and we'll see you next week.